Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come together today. We praise you and thank you, Lord, and open our heart to you and to your word. Quicken to us your truth, Lord. Enable us to hear and receive it. Enable us to connect with you this morning and to be able to hear what you want us to know today. We just know, Lord, that you care about each one of us and that you want to bless us as we open ourselves up to you. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to make that connection with you that makes all the difference in our life. And we give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, for everything that you are doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I was preparing for today, you know, the topic that I was starting to connect with something else later, it was becoming bigger and bigger. And so I decided to let it go and to follow what he was showing me. I'm going to talk to you about experiencing God's love today. And I think that is an important topic to prepare us for the next time, the next place that we are going to be, that we're actually receiving from him. Okay. But really, one thing that we have to understand, that often when we talk about God's love, you know, we think about love the way the world thinks. But that's really not the way it operates. You know, even in the Bible, the name, the word used is not just love. You know, in the original, the Greek, agape, doesn't mean the word, the love that the world think. There are different words in Greek for love. I'm not going to go into that because I think we are going to get into it instead to show the difference, to show really how we can see God's love, how we can understand the way it functions, the way it works with us, and how we can receive it as we understand the way it works. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about the covenant, the new covenant. Okay, the new covenant is critical because, you know, this was a new way to connect with us. Okay, and it was much more powerful, much better than anything that we had before, that they had before. Okay, it's something that was the last step for us to actually connect with him. Okay, we had to understand that. Okay, and excuse me. As we've been looking at the new covenant, we've been looking at Hebrew chapter 4, seeing what Jesus' role, especially on Thursdays, you know, the role as a high priest, okay? A high priest in verse 15 of chapter 4 of Hebrew says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot be sympathize for our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And that's really the big difference, you know, in time of need, to come boldly with him to receive. We had to learn to do that. We had to learn to what that means. Okay? And really, that boldness that we require from us is for us basically to understand that he is there to meet with us, that he's open as we go and approach him the way he requires. That's the thing we have to understand. And it's not just according to our feelings, but according to his ways. Because this is what he wants from us. And the new covenant that he established, you know, through Jesus, giving his own life on the cross for our sins, it makes all the difference. And that Love is really the demonstration, that action, the fact that Jesus came and died for us is actually one of the elements that we have to consider, probably the major one, to show the love that God has for us, okay? That is, ready to give everything, even his life, Jesus did, for us, so that we can be helped, so that we can be healed, so that we can be saved. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we have to see, that when we talk about the love of God, we talk about what the Bible talks about. We understand the meaning of that love. And really, Jesus coming on earth, dying on the cross for us. Okay. And what he went through in that process, okay, wasn't easy. Was something that actually was came to save us from the suffering and the pain that come from sin. Okay, and he understood that, and he considered that so important that it was worth doing what he did. Praise God, hallelujah. And in 1 John chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Does it work? Verse 10? Yeah. Okay. Great. Says there is a definition of agape love that is there. Okay. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a propitiation for our sins. Okay. He made possible for us to approach God, okay, through what he did for us, okay. Verse 11, beloved, if God loved us, we also had to love one another. And well, this is the extension of that idea, that impact, and we are going to see that those things are connected together. The fact that we are able to love each other not with the love of the world, but with agape love, is an indication that actually we have received God's love in ourselves. Because we cannot do that in our mind, in ourselves, in our strength. It's coming from him. It's one of the manifestations that we actually connect with God and we receive his love is the impact that the love had on us. Praise the Lord. See, he's not only our example, okay, but he releases within us the spiritual ability and power, okay, to be different, to have, different results made evident in our relationship that we have, not just with him, but with others. That is really important to understand because, if you look at the commandment that Jesus summarized them to one, love God, love your neighbor, love the other people. So the idea is that really when one is working, the other one is working too. They are connected together. And we are going to see later in detail how the scripture actually show that principle. Okay. You see, agape love that is received, okay, produces a spiritual impact on us that changes things on a spiritual level in us. And when there is not that change, then we haven't really received, we haven't even perceived, we haven't been able to make the connection properly the way it should be. Praise the Lord. And that should help us to make us understand, okay, that we should try to receive, understand, connect with God. In 2 John 1:6 says, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that we have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So the idea is, you see, the impact there, we're receiving the love, this is talking about the love that we have for him, is that we walk in his commandments. But to have that love, to ability to do walk in his commandments, that means we have received his love inside us so that we love him. Because if we don't love him, we are going to walk not according to his commandments, but according to our ideas, according to what we want, according to our lust, according to the things that pleases us. And that's not necessarily what he pleases. So we can see from where our position is, what how much you ever receive from the transformation that took place in us. Okay? And when we understand that, that helps us really to properly judge ourselves. Because that is what makes the difference. If we are not able to understand where we stand, we don't know what to do next. But when we start understanding our relationship and what is manifested in us, then we know better and go to the Word and read what we should do, then we can understand the things that we should be moving toward. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to show us, the things that we need to know, the things that are coming, the things that the change that to be taking place in us. So, see, the fact that this love that comes from God is not sterile, is not dead. It produces, it multiplies itself. It multiplies itself through what we received in us. It manifests itself in us. Also, be able to manifest agape love for others. Okay. So by loving God, one thing happens in our spirit. We enter into God's kingdom and we start being motivated by his principle, by his, you know, the heart is changed. And so because the heart is changed, also our desire, our things are changed. The things that we want, the things that we care about, the things that we love, its value more, are going to be different, are going to be transformed by according to his judgment and his things, his way to look at things. Hallelujah. So by loving God, we enter the kingdom and we start to, you know, operate according to the same principle that God has. Okay, those principles are, you know, the way he thinks, the way he judges things. Praise God. And that's why in 1 John 4:9 says, we love him because he first loved us. You see, it's that love that we have received, that we have appreciated, that we have responded to. Okay, is powerful and works in us to produce the same type of position, the same type of attitude, the same type of mental fornail, or mental attitude in us concerning the world around us, concerning him and concerning others. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, this becomes, it's not just a spiritual revelation that we think we understood. No, it's more, much more than that. Actually, it's an experience. It's a spiritual reality that is established inside us. God's love is in us. And it's not dead. It produces results. It produces changes. Hallelujah. Okay. This is a reality. Okay. And when that happens, we naturally are going to be starting to walk his ways, not the way of ourselves, not the way of the world, not our selfish perspective. Okay. See, when we love somebody, if we love God, we want to please him. You want to, you know, otherwise, you know, if you love something, someone, you want to bless them, okay? Sometimes people love just because they're benefiting from it, but the fact is, it's not just that here, Okay, this goes beyond that. That's agape love, the way it works. Hallelujah. See, Jesus himself was explaining this concept in John chapter 14, verse 15. He said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. Okay, that means if you obey my commandments, you are obeying what he says to you. That means, you know, he's going to guide you. He's going to tell you what to do. You're going to follow what he says. Okay? Because you care about pleasing him and because you care about him. Okay? And the base on which you are going to do that, or the degree that you are going to do that, is determined by your love. How much you actually love him. Praise the Lord. So when you do that, you know, essentially, he becomes your Lord and your Savior. Okay? You feel gratitude, you feel value what he has done for you, and you respond to that because it's out of that perception that you start to judge and think and operate. Okay, hallelujah. Obey his commandment. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. But this is how we know that we are in him. You see, this is the indication. That's what it shows to us that we have received God's love. If we have not received God's love, it's just a question of a mental agreement with what, the word says or what somebody preaches or whatever. There's not going to be the motivation. There's not going to be the ability to actually do what it's called to do, because that requires that we are not self-centered. Love is not getting, is living, is giving. Praise God. Okay. So this is important for us to understand that, you know, his position of Lord and Savior. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. But if he's not the Lord Jesus Christ to us, because he's not our Lord, you know, Lord is not a title. This is a position that he has respect to us. And when we have that relationship and he is our Lord, then automatically the other part is coming together because we don't need to be there trying to make it happen. You know, it's his lordship that brings it about. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So, you know, we, in that way, we know that we are in him. That means we are connected with him. That he is guiding us, he's controlling us. We are under his protection, under his direction, under his power. Praise God. Hallelujah. In John 10:11, Jesus said something that is related to that, but in completely different words. He said, if I am the good shepherd gives his life to the sheep. Okay, that was showing here that, you know, he was completely committed. Okay, you know, that means if he's our shepherd, that means we should be sheep. If we are not sheep, we are not, he is not our Lord. Okay. The idea of sheep, you know, the idea of being a sheep is the fact that sheep are very easy to manage. Okay. The shepherd goes there, they call them and they come along and they go along with him. But if you are a goat, you have your own mind. Okay. You know where you want to go and you do it. You know, I remember once, you know, I went to this woman that had a house in the country and had goats. I went with my kids there because they were young yet. We got there with the car, parked the car. We didn't even open the door. One of the goats was on top of our car. No, because that's the problem, okay? This is shows that they want to do what they want to do, and they don't listen to, they don't need a shepherd. You have to really lock them up to be able to keep them. But sheep, you can put them there, and you can look after them, and they're obedient. They follow the shepherd. And then not only that, but even they recognize the voice of the shepherd. That Jesus was using this as a parallel to show us really the way we should feel and we should do concerning the relationship we have with him and the direction that he put in our life. Praise the Lord. You see, sheep are obedient and submitted to the shepherd. Okay. Now, that is should be the result. That's what he wants. That's why the obedience comes by having that kind of an attitude. It's an attitude that is generated in you as you are grateful for what he has done for you. Okay. Now, we have to understand that the God's love, okay, in general, love is really a great spiritual power. Okay, that produces all the result coming after. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "Now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest one of these is love." You see, really the impact of us, you know, shows the things that we have to really realize and consider for ourselves, you know, what is more powerful, a powerful spiritual force operating in us. And the one actually is easier to follow, is love. That is going to guide us. Sometimes we can have things like, you know, hope and faith, but they may be much more difficult to manifest themselves. But love should be the one that is going to guide us. Okay, and we can see that, okay, in people that in the Bible, they loved the Lord and they were enabled to do things that were supernatural. They were much more than we can do ourselves physically. Okay, and we're going to see that with some people. The thing is, you see, that love relationship perfects. Okay, us, changes us, empowers us, and make us grow in the right direction. As we learn to yield to that, allow the love of God to minister to us, and we respond to that love by being grateful, by satisfying that love, by responding to that love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, this is why Jesus summarized all the commandments, all the rules. I mean, the Jews have more than 365. Anyway, they were ticking off rules all the time from their things, and they would never be able to meet the condition that wasn't working for them. Jesus summarized this to two major commandments, okay? And had to do all with them with love. I mean, that should indicate to us that he considered that one of the probably the most important concepts, the most important, you know, spiritual power to function in us. Okay? In Mark 12:29 says, you know, Jesus answered and said to them, "The first, the whole commandment is, hear Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord." Okay? "And you shall love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." And then you added the second one is like first, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. So really, you know, this when you are in alignment with that, commandment, you are connected with his love. And we are, as you are connected with his love produces results in us. As we are aware of his love. See, lots of people say, I don't know the love of God. Well, you got the problem. Okay? You need to know the love of God. That's the basis for you getting anywhere spiritually. Otherwise, you are going to be hindered in your ability to do things because you are not going to have the strength to do the things that God calls you to do and to be able to receive the things he wants you to receive. Because that's what he does. Okay? God's love releases in you his supernatural power, his life, eternal life. And with that, his blessings. But it's not because you're seeking his blessing, it's because you love him that he blesses you. Praise the Lord. Okay. He becomes your father that you love, and you become his child. And that relationship really makes all the difference to change you, to empower you, and to enable you to start living in his kingdom. You see, you cannot live in God's kingdom if you are not filled with his love. Praise God. See, one person that we can learn from, this is actually it's a good example. You may not agree that it's a good example because he made some serious mistakes. But he actually was, according to God, David. I mean, he was a murderer and adulterer and everything else. But actually, the word says, you know, that God loved him and he was after God. Okay? So the fact that somebody is after God doesn't make him perfect, but helps you toward perfection. Now, you know, and this is why, you know, if you go to the Psalms, and that's the one way, one place to go to see the love of God manifested, how it manifests itself. There are plenty of Psalms, many of them, you know, had to do with show the impact or the results of God's love. Okay, what that is going to produce in you. The type of things, that the expectations that you can have. Because God is faithful, he doesn't change, he's always the same, and he's going to be doing what he did before, what he did with David, he's going to do with you too. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see? This is the way you see how we end up really praising God, okay? And what kind of experience we can have. And what of why, you know, because he's faithful. According to his promises and what we said, according he works the same for everybody. And we need to understand that. But, you know, if we don't understand that, then, maybe our expectations are not right, and this is going to be a problem for us. Because we are not going to get what we think we should be getting. And the reason is not God. It's we are missing it because we are not grasping or receiving or being able to connect with the truth that he is providing and he's told us. You know, when God does not disappoint us. If God disappoints us, it's not that he disappointed us, that we disappointed him. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, for example, when you take Psalm 23, that is the way pretty clear, shows the love of God. And I'm not going to read, if I would try to use all the scriptures that talk about the love of God and the way what the Lord of God provides, I would have to read most of the Bible. So I had many here, you know, so I'm not even going to try, and I'm going to just skip many of them, but I'm going to bring out some that show some certain things that I think you should understand and remember. Psalm 23, verse 1. You know, the first thing he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Praise the Lord. You know, the idea is that stating the fact that the Lord is a shepherd, that means that he is a sheep and he wants to follow him. And because of that, the consequence of that, this is one of those cause and effect scripture. You know, I mentioned that before. There are many scriptures that have a cause and effect clause inside that shows when that is happening, this is what is going to happen to you. When this is real, that there's going to be a consequence of that. And here the consequence is pretty clear, okay? My position is God is my shepherd. My result is I shall not want. That means I got everything that I need. Okay? Because why? Because he's submitted. Because he's accepting his lordship. So because, you know, who is the shepherd? The Lord. That says, you know, that's not a title, not just a thing. This is the position that he actually has in our life. When he's Lord, we are not going to be wanting because we are going to be satisfied for all things because we are submitted to him. And we are obedient to him. And we do the things it tells us to do. And we get the result that he tells us we should get. Praise the Lord. Okay? David wasn't perfect. Okay? But he was like a sheep. Okay? He would listen, hear, and follow, and obey. Okay? And, you know, this is how he was able to have enormous victories. Big things in his life producing, you know, I'm not going to, there are some part there that shows how prosperous he was, how many battles he won, battles in which he was actually not the strongest. Praise God. You know, that was where he got the strength to beat the Goliath. So that seems to me is an indication of, you know, everybody else, the big warriors in the army there wouldn't have the courage to do that, but a little guy, young fellow, without any armor and preparation to be a soldier, you know, he went there and had complete victory. Okay? Where it was coming that? What was the source of his strength? The fact he was a sheep. The fact that he was submitted to him. The fact that he knew God. The way he thought is what enabled him to connect with God because he's experienced God's love before. He fought against a lion. He fought against a bear. They were much stronger than he was. And he was able to overcome them. And he was delivered from them. And he kept, why? He kept his sheep. You see, he was a shepherd too. That's why he knew how that functioned. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then, you know, the benefit from that in the following verse 2, 23 verse 2 said, he made me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. You see, what happens is that he is going to guide us into the things that we need to do. He's going to give us peace. Peace coming out from, you know, a peaceful environment and situation, Lord. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, there again, restore. In Hebrew is shub. Actually, what that means is restore, refresh, delivered, brings back. You see, even that means, you know, the implication is even when I get off, he restores me. Okay, he brings me back where I should be, even when I missed it. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this is where, you know, sheep sometimes they follow, but they're not too smart, sometimes get lost. Okay? But he's there to bring them back with his staff. Bring them back. So that they don't let, even if they get lost, he get them back and restores them. Praise the Lord. And show them the, you know, the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It doesn't know because you deserve it. It doesn't know because you did everything right. You know, because he, for his name's sake, for his attitude, for his character, for what he is like. Okay? Praise the Lord. Not by any merit of yours, okay, but because of his mercy, his goodness, and his faithfulness, he is going to pull you out if you listen to his voice. And we can see that very well in the life of David. See, you will continue to experience all the favor of God, okay, by overcoming the fears, having God's anointing, having abundance in your life. That's what it says. You know, just stay in his presence. Hallelujah. You know, in Psalm 18, verse 1, there says something that is really, you know, he said, I love you, Lord, my strength. You see, his strength comes because of the he having received the love and loving him back. So when we love back and we are good sheep, what happens, we are going to have the strength that we need to face any situation. And this is really what David experienced in himself. He was in very difficult situations, many times with many enemies, with you know, forces against him much bigger than he was. But he always overcame because of his position with God, his relationship with God. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength. You see, the strength thing come back all the time. When we are spiritually weak, it's because our experience of God's love hasn't been good enough to give us strength in us. And we end up failing when we are encountering difficulties and problems. And so what we had to do is to try to connect better with God. Because from there is where we get the strength. And we get, becomes our strength. Hallelujah. You see, some people say, well, you know, they don't have enough faith. Well, the thing is, you know, continue in verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. So the one that set us free when we are under attack. Okay. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Why? Because you love him and you trust him and you depend on him. Okay, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. See, that ability to go back to him, to depend on his love, to connect with his love, becomes the fortress delivering you, setting you free, enabling you to stand even the attacks of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Your fear goes when you love God. The more you love God, and the more you will experience, you're going to be fearless. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. In the following verse, verse 3 of Psalm 18 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. You see, the fear goes. When you know that when you call God, he is going to answer. But if you think, well, I don't know if he's going to answer, well, there is a problem there. Okay, when your position, you see, it's because you really don't trust him. See, to be able to say, you know, I'll call upon the Lord and he shall answer, you know, and if that's real for you, then there is no reason to be afraid. And if there is reason to be afraid, then you know what to do. You have to connect with his love. Go and see all the praises in which shows that God is faithful, that God answers your prayer, that God wants to answer your prayer more than you even believe that he wants to, that he's trying to get to you, to help you. Praise God. Are you following me? Hallelujah. You shall be saved from your enemies. If God is for you, who can be against you? There are many, so many scriptures. I mean, it's all over the place. But, you know, that starts from you knowing him, knowing his name, knowing his character, and connecting with the reality of who he is. Hallelujah. He becomes your stronghold. You are surrounded by his power. Praise God. In Psalm 27, verse 4 says, one thing I desire of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You see, there it says, you know, the fact of desiring to dwell in him. That means to connect with him, to spend time with him. You know, if you don't spend time with him, there is no relationship. The more you love him, the more, I mean, when you want, if you really love somebody, you want to be with them. Okay? Well, the same thing with God. That becomes even more important because as you are with him, you know, you can be in his their presence. They can minister to you. But not only that, okay? That's the time when you can do these things, you know? You can see this beauty. You see, you can realize the way he actually is. If you don't spend time in communion with him, you cannot see God's beauty because it's just theoretical. But when you are communing with him and things happening all the time, showing you his work in your life, then you see his beauty. You see the way he's like. You see that you can depend on him. You see that he's faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay? Not only that, but it says there and to inquire in his temple. You see, that's the time when you can share, you can talk with him, you can ask him to give you direction, you can receive the direction. But if you don't spend time with him, you don't trust him, and you don't have the ability to actually connect with him to get directed. Because your mind is going to be all over the place. Your mind has to be looking at him, focusing on him. See, that's where that communion that Jesus talked about in John 17, that communion with him is where he communes with you. And if he communes with you, what he has becomes yours. Praise the Lord. See, he fills you up. Hallelujah. Okay, so you see, this is where we get direction. That's where we are, dwelling in him. See, dwelling in him doesn't just mean to be there, you know, coming out with the list of needs. Dwelling with him means you're spending time with him, just taking a walk, just fellowshipping with him, just enjoying him ministering to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. The following verse. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the sacred place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. So you see, this is, you know, when everything was fine, you're going to have a good time with him. But when the situation gets tough and difficult, oh, you know, people get so worked up and try to fix it up. No. If you have been dwelling with him, he's going to be there even at that time, and he's going to help you, and he's going to protect you, and he's going to, you know, surround you with his power, so that you're not going to have the difficulty. That is how David overcame when he was attacked all the time by his enemy. They were more powerful than he was. Hallelujah. Okay. He shall set me upon a rock. That means, you know, upon a rock, then you can see all the things around and he can come to you because you are in a place, in a strong place. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, David was not perfect, but he lived by faith in God. He made mistakes. You know, people think, yeah, because they know something that they are invincible. The problem with him, he got distracted. And when you get distracted, and the enemy tries to distract you all the time, get you busy, get you doing too many things, get involved in everything that they know, not even thinking of spending time with God. Well, you know, then not doing anything. You have to do. Today's life is busy. Stop being busy and take time with God. That's the best time you spend and the one is most profitable. Amen? Amen? Because that makes all the difference. That because that gives you the strength to do the things. When you are under attack, you are going to have the strength to fight against and to overcome because he fights for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, in Psalm 18, they say some things that are interesting. Okay, and they're showing, you know, the fact that as, you know, the result of what his position as a sheep was. Was David. Verse 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hand, he has recompensed me. See, the idea, you know, made many mistakes, David, you know, even in other places, but, you know, he was quick to listen. Praise the Lord. You know, he was quick to be receiving correction. Hallelujah. But, you know, he was at the same time, when he was aware, was careful about the way he walked. Okay. It says, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and am not wickedly departing from my God. Verse 22, for all his judgment were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. You see, he's talking about the different things that he was considering. I also was blameless, and I kept myself from iniquity. So here he was actually working. Verse 24, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hand in his sight. Okay, that is really as we obey, as we listen, as we are actually listening to him in his direction, then we know what we can expect. And this is what I was. So, okay. So, one of the things that we had to understand, okay, that we, when we are loving God, we are going to obey his commandments. And that makes it, you know, many scriptures. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. You see, this is the attitude. You see, our attitude is with respect to what the God says to do. Okay. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I mean, just adjusting and helping us. Okay. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. So this is where, you know, you renew your mind with the word. It makes you wise. Okay, you know what to do. You make you wise. That means you know what to do in the different situation because the word is there providing you the direction that you need. Okay, the following verse. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So you see, because you know God's direction, then you feel good and you feel that you are doing the right thing and you know that what to do is there. Okay. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Okay, that's the eyes is talking about the spiritual eyes that we have. Okay, we can see things because we know God's laws and principles. Okay, so one of the things that is interesting to do, okay, is the way we respond to the scriptures. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God. Okay? I mean, the love that we have for God. Sometimes it's not very clear what he's saying, which is love, which is sight, but you know, the two go together. Okay? This is the love of God. That we keep his commandment, and his commandment are not grievous. You see, when we feel that to do what God wants is hard, we have a problem. Because it is not hard if we love him. See, the more we love him, and the less hard it is. Okay? So, you know, that should help us to understand that if there are things that we are struggling with, we find it too difficult to do, that means there is something that we are missing in our relationship with him, and we have to start loving him more, not trying to fix ourselves up. It's by actually, and you get loving him more, you know, if you remember the spiral up, okay? You love him, you obey, and he blesses you, and you keep going, being blessed and growing up into that. Okay? And that the way you start loving God more. You be obedient, you just see the way God works with you. Hallelujah. He's dependable, he's faithful. Okay? Even after David sinned. Psalm 51, the whole chapter, the whole verse there. You can see David's heart. Okay. You see, he had blown it very badly. He did many bad, big bad things. Okay. But he was distracted. You see, he'd been, I think, working, fighting, and doing things. So finally, took off, and he was just doing nothing. Sometimes, you know, focusing on everything else, you know, just taking a rest. And the enemy used the situation to distract him. Okay. So, but, you know, as soon as the, you know, prophet Nathan came and talked to him, instantaneously, he came to his senses. Wasn't there trying to justify himself. Wasn't there trying to find excuses. Wasn't there for saying, the only thing he says, I sin against you. And when all the things that he says, he was focusing all the time on the fact that he knew God. He knew that God is merciful. That he's loving kindness. That he's, you know, he could blot out his transgression. Okay? And this is really the things that he stressed on and he was, you know, aware of and was able that way. Because he really, truly repented and cared more about God's position than his own mistakes to receive from him and to receive forgiveness. It went through difficult thing. The thing we did, it was big, but, you know, essentially God took him back and kept blessing him and blessing him in all the things that he did. Hallelujah. In talking about, you know, finding difficult what God wants us to do, you know, the law and so on. In Psalm 19, verse 9, says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You see, this is not the fear of the Lord that makes you run away. You see, David didn't run away from God. He got lost. But as soon as he realized, where did he go? He go back to God, trying to connect with him again. That's the difference. Instead of running away and trying to defend himself, he was fully acknowledging the things and was responding to God's love and be ready to receive again. Praise the Lord. You see, he did not consider the judgment of God something that he didn't was feeling comfortable. That's why the fear of the Lord is actually, you know, having God's judgment inside you, knowing the way God judges things and having the same attitude in you that God has concerning those things. Praise the Lord. He wasn't, you know, thinking like the world and trying to be what God wants them to do. No, he was thinking like God and not wanting anything to do with the world. Praise the Lord. And, you know, following that verse, the Psalm 19, verse 10 says that this, you know, the fear of the Lord is most desired than gold. Yea, that much more fine gold, sweeter than any honeycomb. The honeycomb, any on the honeycomb. So the idea is, you know, that really the blessing, the goodness of God, okay, is there. And when you have the fear of the Lord, you are protected from all things. Because you think the way God thinks. You know, the scripture says, you know, that the fear of the Lord was the gift, you know, the God's gifts to him, for Jesus. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I want to read something else. A few more minutes. Psalm 91, verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me. Okay? When we set our love not upon other things, but on God. Okay? Therefore, I will do what? Deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Okay? God deliver us, give us victory all the time because we set our love upon him and not on other things. And that essentially is to do the first commandment. Okay? That's simply love the Lord your God with everything you got. Okay? Because, you know, you set going, knowing God's name, knowing his power, having understanding, we have the right expectation. We know what to expect if we connect with God. And we want to do that because we don't want anything to interfere with our love toward God. And we protect ourselves from these other things. Because they, that action that we take, you know, those decisions that we make concerning to love God more than other things are going to produce greater benefit. Okay? He will set us on high and praise the Lord. Because he has known his name. See, but you have to know his name, know his character, know the way he is, know what you can expect from him. Okay, so the more closer you get to him, and the more you're going to know these things, you know, not just mentally, but actually this is part of you, part of your thinking. Okay. Then, you know, as a consequence of just the verse I finished reading, okay, that you know where to get the help when you need it. Psalm 91, verse 15, he shall call upon me. Okay, so that means you shall call upon him, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. For verse 4, for long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That seems to me, you know, what more can you add to that? Okay? I mean, just because you decided to love him more than all these other things. But, you know, this wasn't even a new story. You just read, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and that says the same thing. You choose life, and you get all those blessings. There was more than a chapter full of blessing there. They're going to follow you. So there should be no question, okay, if we actually have assimilated inside you some of the scripture that I even mentioned today, that should be enough to really motivate you to do something about it and to grow in his love, because it's the best place to dwell in there than anything else. Hallelujah. But there is more. Praise the Lord. More than long life, since I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Okay, there is the work on progress we are. And he gave instruction even for that. In John, you know, Jesus' final commandment. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You see, this is quite extra. Okay, this is giving us an extra help, if you want. Okay. He's not calling just to love God, but to love one another as I, like he did, love you. You see, that's really the characteristic of agape love. Agape love is not just feeling good about you. Okay, agape love is a sacrificial love, willing to go the second mile, okay, for us, dying for him, and to do the same. We should do the same for one another. Love one another. Okay? And by this, all know that you are my disciple, that you have love one for another. You see, the manifestation of God's attitude and approach that we have when we love one another probably is a reflection of what his love was for us. Okay? Learning from him to have the same type of love for others makes all the difference. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, we are going to be able to say everything today. You got lots of scriptures. You can get the notes later on to review them, because, you know, all of them, they point out even more than what I can do here speaking to you. Okay, all the different benefits that God's love produces in us and the way he manifests in us, so that we can understand, okay, all the ramification of loving God in our and with our life. Let me continue here. Okay, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Okay, verse 13. But this is, we know we abide in him, he and he in us, because he gives his spirit to us. Okay, so the idea here again is the fact that, you know, we are, you know, aware of our fellowship and our unity we have with God. When we are aware of that, we are in a completely different situation, because we are not alone. We are not fighting. He doesn't abandon us. He is with us all the time. And we know that, because we experience that a number of times. And the more we experience that, the more strength, the more protection we have. Hallelujah. It's because, you know, we know we abide in him. You know, that know there is ginosko. That means that we actually have the complete knowledge, have the experiential knowledge that we are in him. That means actually we feel we are in him. We are not there under him. Am I saved or not? No, there is no question. Because you know that you know that you know that you are with him. Hallelujah. And that is confirmed and reinforced by this other scripture, which is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is so, and so are we in this world. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we are like Jesus in this world. You know, it's because our position, Okay, we don't go around like he did. We don't do the other thing. We don't need to do those things. People just take scripture in things that are not intended. Here he's telling simply the fact that we have the same attitude that he had. That you have the same relationship with the Father. Okay. For says, you know, and this is not fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. And he who fears has not been perfected in love. Hallelujah. So, I have much more there. But we are going to, I mentioned enough scriptures. You can see the other ones in the notes. I have another pages of scripture here. More or less, I think. So, the idea is this. The more we realize the implication, the impact, the way that these things, this love that we have for God is no longer a theological statement, but it's a reality that we know in our heart. The more that is really rooted in us, the greater is going to be our ability to receive from God all the things that we ask. Because we are not going to ask things that are contrary to his will. Because we are going to be his sheep. And he's going to be our good shepherd. Praise the Lord. Amen? I hope that helped you a bit. That you connected with the reality of his love. You know, that it's not just having a good time together. No, there is much more than that. There is a commitment. There is a unity. There is a sharing with another. And it is also receiving. Because he is faithful. He is what he promised he will do. And we can count on that. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's close in prayer. We praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness and your love that you have for us. I'm opening my heart to your love that I may know in my experience, may experience personally your love, the love that you have made us able to receive. I thank you for that. I thank you for what you did. I thank you for what Jesus made me possible to receive. I receive it today. I want to be connected with you, with your love, to grow in loving you more and more. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.